Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for listening to The Philosophy Show. This is Thomas, your host, and, you know, it's 2 days before garbage day, and are you like me where if it's just 2 days before garbage day, you might not tend to just bag that garbage bag up and you kind of let it fill up a little extra because it's just one more day to garbage day. I'm going to take it out tomorrow, so might as well not change a whole new bag today. Or are you someone that just takes it out and then just changes it and figures it all work out? Well, I do a little bit of both, but so that was my little joke at the beginning, and you know, kind of how a Seinfeld episode start with a little joke. That was my little monologue there. But today's show is called "That Which Is the Greatest," and I was going to call it "What Incentivizes That Which Is the Greatest," and then the subtitle is "How Is What." Not like an Abbott and Costello thing. No, just it's not a question mark at the end. It's just more of a statement. How is what? Because okay, we'll find that out very soon. This is a half-an-hour show. This is episode 115. It's 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday morning, Wednesday nights. You can visit blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. You can also visit my YouTube, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And today's Thursday, December 3rd, 12:30 a.m. It's a half-an-hour show. It's a call-in show. Same time each week. Call-in is area code 646, and then it's 929-1344. So I have a couple of notes written down here that we can jam-pack in here. Also, you can go by your calls. So that which is the greatest, what inspired me to think of that? Because I'm always thinking great thoughts, you know? And so I'm Donald Trump. No, just kidding. Well, make America great again. And then in the Democrat debate about 2 weeks ago, one of the moderators asked Bernie Sanders, it was right after the Paris shootings. And in the previous debate before the Paris shootings, they had asked Bernie Sanders what was one of the biggest issues, threats that we face. And he said climate change. And I don't necessarily completely agree. I do think some things in our environment is very, very crucial. I mean, you can go from anything from the oil spills to the nuclear spills in Fukushima and the plastic island that's out there and the way we're using our lands and lots of things. And just mental health as well is, the way we have a real blind spot to certain things, yet, you know, we're so advanced, but we have these glaring blind spots that we don't even see ourselves. I mean, we're easily are able to do that. So, they asked him in the new debate after the attacks, okay, they asked him, Bernie, this was the very first question of the debate. It was the, I think the CBS debate. He asked, Bernie, do you still think that climate change, in spite of these terrorist attacks, do you still think climate change is our biggest challenge? I mean, like, get real. Do you think, like, that is kind of an insulting question. I mean, number one, of course, those attacks are horrible. And, you know, there's lots of ways to deal with ISIS or ISIL, however you want to think about it. ISIL sounds more like a-hole, you know, so I think that's why they changed it from ISIS. So they can just say ISIL. It's ISIS as an a-hole. But that is kind of a loaded question, to be honest. I mean, you know, whether you agree with global climate change or not, and most scientists do, but who knows, they might be bought and paid for, right? So, but I think he sincerely believes it. Now, I don't agree with carbon taxes, so that's kind of a fallacy. Someone might say, oh, you believe in that, so that automatically means this and this. No, it doesn't. That does not come with the package. Each issue on its own is what we're talking about here, and we'll be all over the place. No particular party, totally independent here and open-minded to debates. And so Bernie said, yes, I still do. And he gave the reasons why. And I mean, honestly, and these are just statistics, not trying to put anyone down, but it just gives an ironic perspective. You do have more of a chance of being killed by a cop than a terrorist. That, I think, is the FBI's own statistics. And, you know, and there's lots of other things, probably heart disease and all this stuff. So if we were to put it in perspective, and there are interests that are pushing this stuff on us, so it's not like, you know, it's all innocent and stuff. There are a lot more serious things. I mean, you know, the earth is fragile. If you look at it from above, there's a lot of lands, and there should be a lot more homesteading, and we should give a lot of lands to individuals, not corporations. And in fact, but if you look at the small atmosphere, I mean, it's so, you know, it's like a bubble out there in no man's land. And, you know, it's got this very, very delicate, like, little atmosphere, but it's strong. I mean, it's a force field for sure. It deflects, you know, sun rays and stuff like that. I mean, good, go Earth. And so I like it. And so, But whatever your answer is, you can't be like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to make America the greatest, or I'm against terrorism, or all those are obvious things that, you know, someone could be trying to be sarcastic at some point, but they're usually obvious things. But the real answer is not, like, some people might think the greatest threat is drugs, you know, it's going to be the downfall of Western civilization if we allow drugs or the decriminalization. But it's simple to say, like, two people could be against drugs, and one person might believe in not having any crime for it and believe it should be, you know, taxed like anything else, and, you know, just sold to adults, and if they're not harming anyone else, then no harm done. And, you know, whether they're using it for a spiritual reason, for a physical reason, for whatever, I mean, work reasons. People drink coffee for work. I mean, you know, gosh. So people in Colombia chew those cocoa leaves and can go like 2 days on long treks. I mean, if you do that like once or twice a year and you're on a long trek and rock climbing out in the woods or whatever and just really working out and chewing a leaf, not, you know, having it some refined, highly concentrated way, then, you know, there's lots of things. I mean, there's been tests that small, minuscule amounts that don't even are noticeable of LSD can grow new brain cells. I don't know if that's good or bad, but these are just things that we're researching into. And it's not the thing, it's the degree of it. You know, everything is bad up to a certain amount. And everything is probably somewhat good in a certain amount. I mean, except being hit by a truck or being ripped off. And so, I mean, unless if you learn from it, right? But that's not really good. So it's not how, because two people could be against drugs. I mean, totally against people abusing it and, you know, using meth and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's really nasty stuff that is like zombifying. I mean, honestly, and it's a result of not allowing more natural legal ways. I mean, let people go to their retreats or, you know, whatever. I mean, as long as they're not harming anyone else, I mean, and they're, you know, they're being paying taxes on their products, so they're giving into the public pool. I mean, they're helping fund lots of programs that you're probably enjoying, like the park or whatever it is. Although you're not enjoying it if they're hanging out there, smoking up and stuff. But all right, so just kidding there. But so you could be totally against it, and you could educate against it, encourage people not to do it, but you could totally not believe in prohibition. I mean, think about this. It took a constitutional amendment to make alcohol legal. How come it didn't have the same standards for marijuana or cocaine or any of the other ones that they've made illegal? Well, I don't know. That's a good question to ask. Ask a lawyer that question, or a politician, or just ask yourself. I mean, and so, you know, prohibition, you know. All right, so that usually brings in more crime and more jobs to some people. I mean, a lot of suffering, a lot of unnecessary, unneeded suffering for many families. Whole families are impacted by it, and our whole society is in that case. And we're doing something the opposite of what is reasonable, and what this country is about. This country was built on like hemp and freedom and pursuing, you know, going out into the yonder and pursuing, you know, the being the best that you can be. Now, other people are against it, but they want to lock you up. And, you know, they want to be able to raid your house and just take you out in the streets, no matter how you're dressed, and put you in a jail and make you lose your livelihood and everything. Or they haven't maybe thought about it, but that's the consequences of their fear, their knee-jerk reactions. Yeah, I'm against it. Just say no. I'm going to vote for, you know, this and private prisons and create a whole industry that's built around doom and gloom and death and, you know, just something wicked out of like some kind of sci-fi book, something that like, you know, that's like a Darth Vader-ish, you know, or something. But I mean, because they don't know the impact they're doing, you know. It's kind of like these people saying, like, we should go to war. Here's a gun. You go, you know, if you believe in it that much. And it's these same people that should be forced to, okay, you go arrest that person if you think they're causing a problem. I mean, I'm talking about nonviolent offenders here, people that don't mess with other people, they're peaceful. That person should be in charge of going to that person's house and arresting them and seeing if they don't get their lights punched out. Because, you know, they're not asking how, you know, they're just saying what. Like, I think it should be illegal. Yeah, the government's always right. You know, that's retarded, and that's like voluntarily or, you know, not supposing to be, but it is in a somewhat of a free-willed way. And so it's like self-retardation or something like that. And because you have to ask, how? I was about to say, what, how? And that's, you know, how? That is the what. How is the what? Because what isn't nothing. It's just a rough idea, but if you give it, let the choice be to someone else, they'll just run roughshod over the Constitution, over our rights. That you should be willing to, you know, like, have you ever taken an oath to the Constitution of the United States? Have you read it? Have you read all the amendments? It's amazing. It's amazing reading. It won't take you long. You can find it on Wikipedia. You know, there's like 20 something amendments, or maybe there's 30. I don't know. I've through them all, but should look through them again. I'm very familiar with the first like 20 or something. I have looked through them all and some. But I don't know them all by heart, but I know most of them. And there's just some of the later ones I don't know as much once it got into the 20s or something. But prohibition was enacted, and then it was later repealed. And that was the 20th century. But I mean, it's the how that matters. Like, how... So how is the what? Is how locking people up? Is how giving them rehab? Is how just never interfering with them as long as they don't make any mistakes, you know, really their legal mistakes, you know, that no one should know about. So, I mean, it's common sense. It's the decent thing. It's free. It's the way, that's the universe that we should be in right now. And so it's very unfortunate to a lot of people, hundreds of millions of people. There should be a drug war memorial. You know, Donald Trump paid for a Vietnam War memorial, and that is a good thing. He's a good guy for doing that. I wish he would pay for the drug war memorial, you know, because that would be a lot bigger. You can make it a virtual one and make a website called the Drug War Memorial and list on there a wall of all the deaths and people that have been affected over the last, I don't know, since like 1978. I mean, what is that, 35 years? We've spent a couple trillion over that time. You know, that could have paid for solar for lots, you know, for about, I don't know, like a fifth of the country. And, you know, 20%. I mean, that would have been an investment that would have ended up paying for itself, would have been brought back into our economy. I mean, that would be a big savings, you know. If I'm not much of a progressive, I do think there should be public options. I'm more of a libertarian. So I believe in the no coercion, in other words. But I do think, you know, we should have competing currencies, and I do think we should have a government that is run by the people. And I think anarchy was already tried. That's what was, you know, that was the beginning. And so we can go back to that. I mean, maybe we will evolve to a point back to that, where it'll be on a such full circle where, you know, we'll just be self-regulating, and just the golden rule will rule, and everyone will be mature and reasonable. But you know, until that happens, you know, we have a public option. Now, I do think we should allow competing currencies, and we'll let the marketplace take care of it. But I do think we should have a public banking system, and you know, we have a public military, and we know the military is important. I mean, what should be public are the basic fundamental societal things like law, the Constitution, like our military, our defense. Like, what else would be just as important as those? Some could argue health, education. But I think even more important than that, fundamentally, practice money. You know, our money supply, public banking. Each state should be able to have their own public banking system too if they want. But also we'll have a federal one, and it'll just keep the same dollars we have now. And it'll have complete transparency, complete accuracy, every dollar accounted for, that will be the trust. And none of it going to special interest, because it's not going to trickle down, it's going to trickle up. And you decide which banks you want to. The banks are going to have to shop for you instead of you going to the bank to shop for a loan. They're going to have to shop for you to be able to invest your money. And so I've done a show on that. That's basically a guaranteed annual income. You know, I don't know, about $14,000 a year or something. I don't know. We could just get rid of the government. That way we don't have to have any more taxes. We don't have to have any more minimum wage. No more. We could have public options for healthcare, you know, people will be in charge at that point, and they'll be able to fund elections. All the money that's created isn't going to be created by taking out a loan, you know, but you can still compete. I mean, if you want to trade in gold coins or gold or coins, or you feel free to do that. I think most people are going to do this, and that's fine, and people can coexist. Coexist shouldn't be just about the religions, but the political philosophies, because you could have a public option system live alongside a free libertarian that like 5% of the people would probably participate in. And it'd probably always be about that amount. And if it grew, great. So I don't think it's any threats, and people need to see the good in both things. And, you know, I totally agree with all the other, the civil rights issues, and it's totally voluntary. So this is, which is the greatest. The greatest threat is that we don't have that going on right now. And, you know, we would get rid of all these rules and regulations, just things that can ruin the environments, to certain points. And we can have public options for like the FDA. I mean, it won't be forced upon you. So you can get all these new drugs. You don't have to wait till they pass, you know, but if they want FDA approval, then they'll have to pay for it and have it quality tested by a transparent, publicly accountable by voting for them electorates and officials. And since the money will be trickling up, we don't have to worry about, the influence by special interests as much. Now, people will still be able to get filthy rich. Don't get me wrong. It'll trickle up, and it's going to go to some places a lot more than others. So this is completely capitalist. In fact, this is way more capitalist than what we have now. You can build as much capital as you want. And I do think there should be some taxes on inheritance. But I think you should, in your lifetime, be able to get as rich as you want. And I think you should be able to pass a good amount on, but there should be some that you should give back to society. And I'm leaning more towards that. Now, I've gone back and forth on that, but that seems to make some sense because absolute power absolutely corrupts. And absolute money is absolute power, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, if that principle holds true, it holds true. I mean, someone gaining absolute power, that's a complete threat. That's a threat. That's the greatest threat is, there's a small cabal that owns everything. And we all know those statistics, like 90, the top 1% owns like 90% of the resources of this country. Are we not living in some kind of technocratic, science project or something, some adolescent science projects? But maybe in the big picture, it's all under control. And yes, Republicans are like Diet Coke. They want to cut like the little things or a couple $1 million here and there, but they don't deal with the trillions. No, they don't deal with the trillions at all. They want to cut food stamps and, just prance around like the frosting on the cake. We can have cake, but just no frosting. And we'll just have some diet sodas at this party here. Paid for by, Donald Rumsfeld's, the people that made those, artificial sweeteners that are, health hazards, little health hazard packets. Now, a question about the biggest threat, though, what that news reporter was alluding to is he was alluding to terrorism. Now, how would we deal with that? Now, let me ask you this. Have you heard of any Muslim or Arab or Middle Eastern terrorism before the 1950s? Have you? I mean, was there a problem with it before then, or were we just not paying attention to it? I mean, what started this? I mean, there really wasn't a whole huge focus on it, and really until after 9/11. There's a little bit of it building up. You could see it building up in the 1990s. But there was, a couple here and there. But like once every 10 or something years, I mean, at least in the United States. Now, maybe in other parts of the world, there was more. And some people have pointed out this is the U.S. experiencing something that the rest of the world has felt. How should we treat Muslims? I mean, if I was out and, if I saw someone, I wouldn't want to make them feel uncomfortable. I would want to make them feel, comfortable. I would want them to know that I'm assuming that they're a constitution-loving, Bill of Rights-loving person just like I am. And so that's going to be my first assumption to any individual. And I want them to feel comfortable here. Now, that does not mean some people are going, so you want 100,000 refugees. No, I don't. I don't want any refugees. I think we should build safe zones over there and not accept any refugees. Maybe we should have a moratorium for like 3 years, but I hear there's more people leaving the country now than even coming in. But once we make America great again, you know, I'm sure they'll be turning around. And, you know, Alex Jones had Trump on earlier today, and, you know, it was fine. He didn't ask him any tough questions. I didn't mind the interview, but except that he didn't ask any tough questions, like what, just even a general question, like what is your stance on civil rights, civil liberties, or Constitution? Tell me your thoughts about it. I don't even have to ask you anything specific, but can you spend 5 minutes just passionately talking about it? The Constitution, Bill writes, I wish someone would just ask, what does that mean to you? People ask him his favorite verse of the Bible. People, you know, we want to make America great again. What is it? Just tell me something about the Constitution that you like and why you like it. And tell me the hows. And, you know, maybe invite a Muslim up on stage with you like Bernie Sanders did and say, hey, you know, you're welcome here. And I'm glad that you're here. You know, I mean, if they're spitting at you, then of course you can't do that. But I'm sure there are some in your crowd, and try to reach out that way. And then I'm sure prosecuting the ones that are guilty will be a lot easier. And we would have the moral high grounds, and it would be good politics. It'd be good for the country. It'd be good. It'd be win. Why don't we do stuff like that? You know, we don't need waterboarding because it doesn't work. And you know, but I don't know. I guess it's all right to have, you know, you always want that crazy surrogate out there just showing the worst of you so other people know that you mean business. But we don't need that. You know, we're not playing games. You know, if someone crosses a line, then they're going to not, you know, even know that what happened next. But until that happens, then, you know, and people should know. I mean, if I agree with Trump in the sense that we'll have a big enough military where people won't even want to mess with us, but we don't need to be everywhere around the world either. And we should really either we're going to create a Marshall Plan, we're going to leave. I mean, it's got to be one of those two things. You can't have this middle stuff is what you call politics that's messing everything up. So either create a Marshall Plan there, that's the only righteous thing to do, that would be a win-win situation in the long run, or you leave completely. See ya. Maybe have some special forces there to help with the rebels or whatever you want to say, the freedom fighters, whoever those are. I don't even know anymore. So, you know, are they the good guys, the bad guys? And just have to watch Star Wars to find out what's going on here, right? Yeah, make America strong. What's strong in America is debating, is standing up to special interests. These are signs that you're strong. Helping small and mid-sized businesses, auditing everything, because he who does auditing is the one who's in charge. We don't need IRS auditing us. We need to audit the whole government, the whole defense departments, the whole judiciary, everything. We need to ask people, hey, didn't you work at Monsanto? What are you doing here as the head of this? It's like people in Congress should bring them up and ask them stuff like, and say, weren't you sitting up here like 2 years ago and now you're heading this thing? You know, I mean, that's what's happening. And so anyways, we got 60 seconds remaining. And you know, I think I would like to see a matchup now. Is that Rand Paul doesn't seem like, unless if he can come from behind, you know, it's going to be Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. A lot better than Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton, you know. And, yeah, there shouldn't be a Clinton or a Bush in this race here. We really want a Bernie Sanders versus a Donald Trump. I do, anyways. Anyways, we'll see you next week. This is the Philosophy Show, and thank you for listening.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.